Monster Man, Episode 255, Store Roper and Sundew, Giant. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing and almost completing our journey through the S chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, it's time to take care of some business. First things first, I want to thank some new patrons. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's patrons, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to Patron Deities, my other podcast, in which I talk about the Deities and Demigods book and how to use religion and mythology in your fantasy role-playing games. Patrons at the $5 level get a special episode of their choice, and in fact, you can look out for a special episode sponsored by one of these patrons coming soon. So thank you very much, George Quayle and Cassandra Lockwood. Your support means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it. In some other business, I had a thing just come out recently. A few years ago, as a guy who cares about Call of Cthulhu and someone who knows a lot about the early Middle Ages, I was asked to write some short sections for the new edition of Cthulhu Dark Ages, which has only just come out now. It's available in PDF from Chaosium. I believe that a print version is coming later this year, and like with a lot of other Chaosium books, if you buy the PDF now, you get a coupon to take the price of the PDF off the print version when you buy it. It's mostly by Chad Bowers and Andy Newton, but there are some other bits by me and by Mike Mason. So if you're interested in that, I'll put a link in the show notes. Cthulhu Dark Ages 3rd Edition from Chaosium. All right, let's start with the Store Roper. Now, this apparently means Stone Roper, and it's just shortened into Store Roper. I assumed that it meant Big Roper, and that's because I spend a lot of time reading things in Norwegian. Well, not reading things in Norwegian. I don't really read Norwegian, but I can kind of figure it out. And of course, Store is a prefix that means big, not just in Norwegian, but in other Scandinavian languages as well. So, for example, in medieval Iceland, you get these powerful landowners who are called the Storbondar, the big farmers. So I assumed that this meant a bigger roper, but in fact, the Store Roper is a little bit smaller than a regular roper, or at least than some regular ropers, because ropers can vary in size. And it says, it appears to be a small statue of a roper. This is the weirdest thing about the whole monster. Why would anybody carve a small statue of a roper and then leave it in a dungeon? That'd be a very unusual thing to do. And so the Store Roper immediately suffers from a problem, which is that it appears to be one thing and is in reality another. But the thing that it appears to be is more curious and interesting than the thing that it actually is, which is always the wrong way around. Anyway, the Store Roper hits you with its tentacles, and if it does that, it seems to petrify whoever it hits. But in fact, they're not petrified, merely briefly paralyzed, and then they recover, but when they recover, they're mind-controlled. So this is kind of a neat monster in that it has this sort of phased fight. You know, first it hits you and you're like, oh no, my character's been petrified. Then you think, oh hey, no, it's great, my character's only been paralyzed and kind of turned gray. And then you think, uh-oh, actually my character has not just been turned gray, but turned evil. There's a limited number of times the Store Roper can do this before it sort of has to recharge the ability, and the victims will eventually recover once the creature is killed. It has some other things that it's resistant to as well. I mean, it's a fine monster. I think, honestly, the connection to the Roper is sort of its weirdest feature. You could, like, reskin this to look completely different, and I think it would actually be a better monster, because it's not a gotcha monster for a Roper, because it doesn't look exactly like one. It just looks mostly like one, but, you know, with notable differences. But even then, it's like a twist on a Roper. And I think when you put a twist on something, that something has to have a certain kind of, like, mental staying power that I'm just not convinced the Roper has. I don't think people care enough about Ropers to, like, have their expectations set and then violated by the Store Roper. So I don't think it quite works on that level. So honestly, I think you can improve this a lot by just making it not appear like a Roper. Otherwise, I think it's a lot of fun. Our next monster is the Sundew, Giant. Now, the Sundew, Giant is a giant version of the Sundew. And the sundew, well, there's no the sundew. Sundews are carnivorous plants. There are nearly 200 different species of sundew. And I assume that the name comes from their predation strategy, because the sundew, you know, leaves or tendrils have this like sticky mucilage, this kind of sap on them. And they, you know, they emit smells or you know, whatever it is that attract insects. But then when the insects land on the plant, they stick to this kind of sappy goo, whatever. And then the plant digests them. So presumably they're called sundews because of the like dew-like appearance of the sticky goo on their tendrils or leaves. The sundew common giant is pretty similar, only it's not just a passive predator. It can actually lash out with its tendrils and attack you, and indeed will automatically do so to anyone who like comes within a certain distance of it. There are a couple of fun little spot rules in the description of the sundew. So for example, if it rolls to hit you with one of its tendrils, and it rolls a natural 20, kind of by chance, it has globbed one of its tendrils over your nose and mouth. And so the sap, the resin, whatever, is all kind of getting in your airway, and you have to get it off or suffocate within a few rounds. Similarly, it has a really neat mechanic, which is it has lots of these tendrils, and if it hits you with a certain number of them, then it imposes a to-hit penalty on you. So, you know, you might not be, like, completely grappled, but you're just kind of encumbered by having all of these sticky strands kind of pulling at you. So I think that's a pretty neat little mechanic as well. This is fine. It's a good carnivorous plant monster. It's definitely more... I've talked before about how these types of plant monsters often function more interestingly as complication monsters, so they just should be part of, like, an active environment. If you happen to run into a sundew comma giant when nothing else is going on, it's not ever really going to be a huge threat, because once you freed the first party member from its tendrils, you can back up and you can either give it a wide berth or you can destroy it at range, although it is resistant to some kinds of ranged attacks. But in general, you'll probably be okay. It's when you're also trying to do something else that the sundew comma giant really kind of comes into its own. And in particular, you could definitely see a problem with opponents that don't trigger the sundew's predatory response. So for example, what if you were fighting some, you know, a wraith or some other ethereal creature that's just floating down the corridor, and because it's not really there, the sundew's tendrils don't lash out at it. Or maybe what you want to do is, you know, actually lure your opponents into the area that's overgrown with sundews in order to slow them down. That's definitely something that you could imagine sort of Tucker's kobolds doing, although how they get away from the sundew, I don't know. You know, maybe the ceiling of the tunnel, they've put some handholds on there, and because they're so small and light, they can kind of clamber up and swing arm over arm along the ceiling of the tunnel, and you go, well, they ran down the tunnel, it must be safe, and so then you charge after them, and hey, presto, you get covered in sundew tendrils. I think that's a lot more fun than the kobolds suddenly having become, you know, some kind of Delta Force commando types, because it makes sense that the kobolds would have to think of a clever way to get around carnivorous plants that they can't possibly defeat, whereas it doesn't make sense that they have the, like, patience, discipline, and spare time to turn themselves into, you know, some kind of elite SWAT team of arrow shooting kobolds. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the special episode on Tucker's kobolds. They're kind of a long-standing D&D trope, and I just feel like this type of situation is one where they actually fit in reasonably well. So the sundew comma giant is a good monster to add complication to an overgrown environment. It has enough kind of mechanical treats to be fun to fight, but not so many that it takes forever. Overall, I am pretty pleased with it. All right, so that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, well, actually, our next episode is a special episode. It's going to be about mind flayers. And after that, we're going to have our last regular episode for the S chapter. Yes, as we cover the swan, the swan may, and the swordfish on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.